Jill Anderson is a naturalist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hi.
Okay, Jill, is there any truth to the woolly bear caterpillar myth?
No.
Okay, moving right along, let's take up the next. I didn't think there was, but talk about it.
You were a doubter, huh? Mm. Okay, well, it's really a fascinating story, I think. So just so everybody knows what we're talking about, because I have a sense that there's maybe some confusion about which of the many kind of similarly shaped, sized, and bristly, hairy caterpillars that are around this time of year is the true folkloric forecaster of weather, woolly bear. And that so the woolly bear that has this reputation is the one that is black on the ends and then kind of a cinnamony brown in the middle. And it has 13 segments. So if you got one and looked really close at it, you'd see that it's made up of 13 segments. And the idea behind this winter forecast via the woolly bear emerged in the late 1940s. A fellow who was the insect curator at the American Museum of Natural History in New York, I don't know, got a wild hair, had heard about the fact that in a area around a place called Bear Mountain, which is apparently north of New York City somewhere, there was this folklore, or that was the weather rule of thumb there, kind of, that for a long time that, oh, woolly bears will tell you, the thinner that middle brown segment is, the more severe the coming winter was going to be. So if you had a wide, many segments of brown, then you had a milder winter. Narrower segment of brown, you had a more severe winter. So he went up to a state park there and started collecting and measuring. And for 8 years, he did this. And he had a friend at the New York Herald Tribune newspaper. And so they started talking about this every fall. And so that's kind of where it became more popularized. So Bear Mountain had been thinking this for a long time. But in terms of widespread recognition or thoughts about it, it was due to his work. But from what I understand, he never thought this was really great science or anything. It was more just a way to popularize something about the natural world, I think. And so I don't know that he ever really bought this idea, but it was something fun to talk about and consider. But since then, yeah, it's been pretty well documented that there is no particular pattern in terms of the winter, coming winter, associated with the width of these of the brown bands on the woolly bear caterpillar. The woolly bear caterpillar has, however, shown that they may actually tell you something about the previous winter. So if you've already been through the winter, then you really don't need to know that. But apparently there's an entomologist at the University of Massachusetts who thinks that there's some significant evidence that the amount of brown on the caterpillar is affected by how long the caterpillar has had to grow since it came out of its dormancy. So if the previous winter has been shorter, then the caterpillar has a longer period of time to grow before it goes into its dormant phase. If the winter was longer, you know, extended further into the spring, shortened up that opportunity to grow, then there are fewer brown hairs. So doesn't tell us anything about the coming winter, but can be a confirmation of what the previous winter was like. So if that's true, and I don't know that he's stated this as this is absolute fact, but that there is some evidence to suggest that this is true, then we should be seeing woolly bear caterpillars this year. It should generally have a smaller number of brown hairs, a narrower patch of brown, because they are winter extended quite late. And so the adult moths wouldn't have emerged until later, wouldn't have laid their eggs till later. These caterpillars wouldn't have you know, hatched from the eggs until later, so they've had a smaller window of opportunity to grow.
What moth does the caterpillar grow into?
This particular woolly bear that we're talking about grows into the Isabella tiger moth, which is a kind of a medium 1 to 2 inch wingspan, not a real flashy, you know, kind of orangish yellow wings with black, kind of not real pronounced, but some black spots. Very common in southern Canada all the way to Mexico, really common moth. So very widespread. It's not at all unusual to see them. The other caterpillar that's really common at this time of year that people see a lot is a different moth in the same family that's called the mottled tiger moth or the tussock moth. And that's another one that's really easy to identify, just like the true woolly bear that we've been talking about. And that moth has the black hairs and bristles at the ends, just like the woolly bear, but it has the bright yellow
middle. I've seen a lot of those.
And then it has the white tufts
that
come off the black. So that's where that tufted, or a tussock rather, moth, common name comes from. Both those moths are in the same moth family, and they're part of this.
But one has magical powers and the other one doesn't.
Yeah, right. Well, maybe just nobody's figured out what the magical powers of the tussock moth is. I don't know. But both of those are pretty common to see this time of year. I've seen more of the tussock moth of the this year than I've seen of the true woolly bears.
Yeah. So if I see you out with your little measuring stick taking a look at the woolly bear caterpillars,
you'll know I've quit my job.
Right. You've gone over to the dark side.
Yeah.
Jill Anderson regularly updates us with goings on in our woods and waters. Thanks for filling us in on the woolly bear caterpillar, not to mention the tussock caterpillar.
You're welcome.